Amen. Well, again, my name is Pastor Daniel, the pastor. I want to welcome you here in the way that we do, and glad that you could study God's Word with us today and be gathered together to sing about our King Jesus. Amen. So I want to invite you. We're in the series called Made for Mondays, and in fact, why don't you just reach over and touch your neighbor and tell them you were made for more. Okay? You were made for more. You were not just created to exist, but you were made for a greater purpose. God has a plan for your life, a calling on your life. He has uniquely shaped you and made you, designed you for a destiny. And so that's really what we've been talking about these past 4 weeks. And if you're just new here joining us and catching up with us, this is the last week, so you can go online and check back up with us and follow up on those messages. Let me just kind of tell you where we've been in regards to this. Is that we kind of talked that first week, is that you have a calling. Every single person has a calling on their lives. God has designed you and made you to do something. And that is huge, because a lot of people say, I don't have a calling. Like, maybe somebody like you, Pastor, you're a special, you're an anointed person or something like that, and you've got a calling. Or maybe a teacher has a calling. You know, maybe a deacon or an elder, they have a calling. But listen, I'm just a plumber. I'm just a construction worker. I'm just a nurse. I'm just retired. I'm just a mom. And no, there is no such thing as just a plumber, just a construction worker, just a government employee, just a mom. Every single thing that God has called you to do, when you do it unto Him, becomes your calling. And in fact, the word that we use for your job, we call it vocation, right? You heard that word before, vocation. But the Latin word, that comes from the Latin word, vocare, which simply means to call. And so whatever we have, God has given us a calling. Now, sometimes we get in the wrong areas. And so that's what we talked about the second week. What do I do when I hate my job, when I hate my school, for those who are students in school, when I hate my neighborhood, you know, I hate my life situation. I'm now in a new season. And what do I do with that? And how do we see God's plan in the middle of all those things that we're in that we don't necessarily like? And then last week, we talked about how did God uniquely shape us, right? There's a shape to you, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences that you have that are unique to you, that God is calling you to use. That, listen, you've got a life message, and no one else can give your life message. I can't give your life message. Guess whose life message I can give? My own, right? I can only do the life work that God has called me to do. And so we don't need to compare ourselves with them. We need to stop the whole comparison trap and on social media and look at all these people, how they look at what they do, look what they have, and all that sort of stuff. And we end up feeling worse when we just look at, man, God made me, and He called, and I'm only responsible for who God made me to be. And so today we're going to answer this question of just, man, how do I shine throughout the week? How do I make a difference? And what does that look like? How do I make a real eternal impact? And we're kind of tying this up together. So we're going to turn in our Bibles. If you would grab a Bible, turn to the book of Matthew. It's in the New Testament. It's actually the first book in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, you're here with us today. There are pew Bibles right in front of you, and that'll be page 810. If you've got a mobile device, you're welcome to use that. Matthew chapter 5 as you're finding your way there. I just want to thank you for the feedback. This has been a fun series to do as your pastor. I heard lots of great stories from you guys after the service and during the week. And man, it just encouraged my heart to see all the ways you glorify God in the things you do. I love it. I love watching people walk into their calling, not trying to be like anybody else, but see who God made you to be. And it's just beautiful. I think it's made me a better pastor, to be honest with you, watching you. And so whether you're called as a student to your classroom, called to your neighborhood, all that sort of stuff, it's important. And so today, how do we share the best news ever, right? How do we really shine and stand out at work, if you will? And so we're going to look at this passage in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is talking here on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what he says, Matthew chapter 5, hopefully you had a chance to find it, and let's pick it up in verse 10. It says this: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Like, Pastor, I don't like that word persecuted. I don't know, it might be time for me to go. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then verse 13 says this: you are the salt of the earth. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and say, you are salty. I'll tell you about that in a second. I'll tell you about that in a second because I had to change my language. I had to change my language, but well, you can have a little fun with it and call the person next to you salty. And you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But check it out. Look what it says. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine, not your neighbor's light shine, not your spouse's light, not your parents' light, not your great, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, God, true, without fault or error. And God, as we come to you today, Lord, we're needing a message from your word. We don't need a preacher's ideas. We need God's word, God's truth, bedrock, foundational, God, to lead us through this world. This world is broken. This world is filled with pain. This world is filled with difficulties and depression and things that are weighing on our hearts, God, day by day, moment by moment. And Lord, surely we have a great hope in you, the one who defeated death, the one who has made a promise to be with us in every storm, in every fire, to never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we thank you for that. And so as we come to gather around your word, Lord, we're grateful that we can place our hope in you. Thank you for the scriptures, Lord. Would you help me, God, a sinful man, communicate the beauty of the gospel and exalt you today? And Father, I pray for these believers here and the folks gathered here under the sound of my voice, God, that you would speak to each of them. And as you're there in your seat, I would just ask you, wherever you are in your walk with God, you may not even believe in him, but wherever you are, I just encourage you to have a little conversation right there in your seat with him and say something like this, just in the quietness of your heart. Say, Lord, speak to me today. Lord, speak to me today. Just go ahead and repeat that in the silence of your heart. Let's say this. Say, Lord, for I intend to obey. Lord, I intend to obey. Father, may you be exalted today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do we shine at work? How do we really stand out or in our neighborhood? Or how do we shine Monday through Saturday? Because again, church is not just about coming on a Sunday, but God has made us to live. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are the church navigating throughout the week. We gather here on a Sunday, right? But then God scatters us and we take the church with us. We take the gospel and God's strength and power with us to wherever we are. And it's such a beautiful thing as we talk about what we do on Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, really, as the important things of life. Because sometimes we try to compare things like these things are important, these things are holy, and these things are not holy. Like cleaning my bathroom, definitely not holy, right? Definitely not holy. How many people like to clean the bathroom? We got any bathroom cleaners up in here? Can I get an amen? All right, good. We'll be friends, okay? All right? Washing the dishes, in my eyes, is a category as thoroughly unholy. And now listen, here's why. Because for years, we didn't have a dishwasher. It was these hands right here washing those dishes. And I just longed for the day when God would bless me with a dishwasher. And finally that day came. And I still don't like doing the dishes, even putting them in a dishwasher. I just feel like I'm being so unproductive, like I do so many other things, just standing here putting dishes in there. And it's a struggle to this day. And I think somebody like, we're going to pray for this pastor here. But, you know, like we categorize stuff as holy and unholy, that sort of stuff. But the Bible tells us, and the first passage we even looked at in the book of Colossians, like chapter 3, verse 16, just whatever we do, right? And you may want to write that down. Whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And whatever we do, do it heartily, passionately, as you're working for God, not for men. And so it's really fitting today. And I know we have a lot of folks, and I never really like to call folks out, but my mailman is here today. And I just got to give a shout out to Mr. Matthew, the greatest mailman on the world. He's sitting back there with my wife. And I don't normally call people out, but right. Let me tell you about the Norfolk mailman of the century, right? He would come by and he would just deliver good news every day. right? And, I would tell him, I said, man, you're delivering good news every day. Why? Because he would come by and he would talk. Man, he would talk to my family. He would talk to my kids. My kids love him. He still sends my kids birthday cards. And brother, that has blessed us so much. And then we were talking. He's had a long drive. I said, man, come visit us. And he came today. So it's just a blessing on my heart. But, hey, this series was all for you. That was all for you. Man, you were the original spark of this series because you were working that job as a mailman. And I appreciate that. He just did it with a great attitude and with joy. And he said, you didn't always see my attitude, but when you came by my house, it was a blessing, brother, and I'm really grateful for you. And so, how do we be a blessing? Now, let me give you a few points, and we're going to make some applications, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so, point number one is this, is that how do we shine through other? Number one, be a blessing. This is where I was going to say be salty, but let me just let you know that now when you say if somebody's salty, that means they're like sassy, right? This does not have good connotations when you say somebody's salty. Like, why are you looking at me so salty? And so it's not a positive word. So I had to change that. So that's why I said be a blessing. But the idea here is that we would be like salt. And now you're still thinking like, I don't know, where did the word being so salty came from? Well, let's talk about the original intent here. Look back with me, right? Be a blessing. That's what we're talking about. Salt is a preservative, right? Salt is a flavor enhancer. And it preserves things. Back in old days, they would use that to preserve the meat so it wouldn't spoil. And so salt, when a Christian is salt, it keeps things from spoiling. It keeps things from stinking. It keeps things from decaying. Right now, I have a decaying chicken in my garage as part of a homeschool experiment to mummify chickens. And you are just like, I got to leave this church right now because I don't know. This pastor said about 10 things, and I do not know what to think about this place. But it's stinking, and they had to make a brine solution and do all that, and then it still was stinking, so we had to put it in a cooler. And so next time we got a church function, if you see me bring a cooler, just run, okay? Because that cooler needs to be thrown out. All right, but salt is a preservative, and it's a flavor enhancer, and that's what it's called to do. Look back at verse 10 with me, right? Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, this is a different situation here, but blessed are those who are persecuted for what kind of sake? Righteousness' sake. Not because they have salty, mean behavior, but because they have flavor-enhancing, preserving flavor. It's one thing to be persecuted when you're doing right. It's a whole different thing to be persecuted because you have a poor attitude at your job. Like, you can't blame that on your boss. My boss just said, my teachers hate me, right? Sometimes students say, they're just so mean to me, right? No, they're holding you accountable because you haven't turned in one assignment all year. And get yourself in gear and turn in your work, and you'll find they're not persecuting you. Now, there are times where people are persecuted for righteousness' sake, but this is the point here, is that it's for righteousness' sake. Look at the next part. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is a reward there. Blessed are you, verse 11, when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. Notice that the accusations are false because you actually have a blessing of a character. You have the heart, and you bring goodness to your job and to your class and to your neighborhood. You bring taste and flavor and joy to where you go when you sit at the restaurant, right? But they're not false accusations. Rejoice, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then look at verse 13. This is kind of the key verse. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its what? Taste. If it's lost its taste. And so salt is a preservative. And so I want you to know that God has you right where you are. Okay, you're in the school of where God loves those children and those teenagers in your school. You're in the job that God is calling, and he died for those people that you work next to in that cubicle, or that you clean with, or that you work on things with all day long. You're in that neighborhood with those other people and your neighbors who you would prefer to talk about. And God loves your neighbors, and he's called you to love them. And so, man, you're right where you need to be. And we as a church want to continue to focus on how we can go out and be the church outside the walls, not just here. Now listen, when we come here, man, let's be the friendliest. Let's amaze people with our kindness, with our service, and let's just wow people. If someone takes the courage to come into a church for the first time, man, it can be scary, right? But man, let's wow people and really love them when they're here. But man, that's not the main point. And here, you've got a greater ministry. I'm grateful for the people that serve here, but you've got a greater ministry out there that God has called you to do. And so salt is a flavor enhancer. And so I brought some salt with me today to help illustrate this point. And actually, I did this yesterday. So here's some salt. And I got some food here. Whoa. Got me a little croissant roll from out there and guest services. Praise God for those folks. And you might think, I don't put salt on my crescent roll anyways. Well, you just don't worry about what I do with my crescent rolls, and we'll just get along just fine. But what happens is, like, there's pressure that we feel like at work, we've got to, like, you know, really, like, be every, we got to be like a Billy Graham. We got to be like some pastor. And, like, we got to get on the table in the lunchroom and just say, everybody, I know it's break time, but I'm going to read a Bible verse to all you sinners. So sit down and listen to me. And it's like, man, we want to take out the whole salt shaker and just be like, pour it just all up on people. Just be like, wow. And what does that do to the flavor? Man, it just ruined it. It just ruined it. I was at Pembroke Mall yesterday with my family, and they had this little function outdoors, and they had all this stuff, and they were making popcorn. So we got in line for popcorn, and it was a fun little time. And then the lady said, there's cheese over there, because it was just plain popcorn or anything to put on it. And so I looked, it was like a little yellow cheese thing. So I thought it was cheese. I didn't realize it was cheese and salt combined. And it wasn't coming out real good. So, man, I just shook the daylights out of that thing. And, man, my kids would not eat that popcorn. Lips were all just, like, dried up after the first bite. It was like, Daddy, can we get some water? And, like, they were just, and then I was trying to eat it because I'm just, there's something about me that I can't throw away food. And so I'm just like, I'm eating this popcorn. I don't care. And it's not like I even paid for it. So it wasn't like I was just trying to get my money's worth. It was like they gave it to me for free. And I got to eat it. And so it's still in my car right now if you want to taste it. There's a few kernels left. But what I'm trying to communicate here is that, listen, you don't have to, like, get people in the headlock, right? Just a little bit of gospel, just a little bit of blessing, just a little bit of connection, just a little bit of conversation at work to encourage them, to share the gospel that way. Yes, we're going to talk about in just a second, how do we share the fullness of the gospel? But sometimes we put this pressure on ourselves, like, I got to be this, you know, I got to do and say all this. I got to get people to, like, bow and at work or at school and just say a prayer and all this sort of stuff. You know, and so, man, just be a blessing to people. Just a little bit of encouragement, just a little bit of a gospel here, there. And that enhances the flavor, right? Not drowning out the flavor. And so that's an important thing. Don't feel that pressure. There's a little bit of salt in the conversation, a little bit of connection there with a new person at work and befriending them. Just a little bit here and there. And the other thing I want you to know about is that notice that when Jesus is talking about salt, you are the salt. Salt just doesn't function by itself. Right? How many of you took one grain of salt and never put it on something? You haven't done it. The inference here is that salt does work in a group. And so as believers, we need other believers around us. So take somebody with you. Or if you have some fellow believers at work, if you want to start a Bible study at your school or your job, and I appreciate the sister showing up here too from when I used to work at Young Life at Green Run High School. And so good to see you guys. And they're here and they had a Bible study at Green Run High School. But the point of that is, like, man, gather, right, with some other believers, not so you can be a holy huddle, but so that y'all can go out and be salt together, because it's easier to be salt together, amen? And so, man, we're called to do it together. So if you do something, you grocery shop, you crochet, invite another believer over there. You whatever you do, like, we do all kinds of things that you do better than I do. Just invite another believer to go along with you, and you guys go and be salt and light together, amen? So number one is be a blessing. Number two is this, be bright. Be bright. And you could put in parentheses, but not blinding. And that's kind of the same thing as being too salty. Be bright. Notice verses 14 through 16. What does it say? You are the light of the world. Isn't that amazing that God would call you the light of the world? You're saying, Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know how I was yelling at my kids right before I came in here. You don't know how we were in an argument. Listen. I'm so grateful the call of God does not discriminate. He has called all of us as his children to be the light. Now, sometimes we cover up the light, like it's talking about here, but you're still the light of the world. It doesn't change the fact from who you are as a believer in Christ. It says this, a city set upon a hill cannot be hidden, right? You're already shining your light. Nor do, verse 15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, right? That would be so silly, right? I love Jesus' humor. Do you love humor in the Bible? If you need something to laugh at, read the Bible. Because it will make you laugh when you read it. Who in their world lights a lamp, lights a candle, and sticks it into the basket unless you want to start a fire? Right? It's just moronic. But Jesus is using that kind of statement to help us realize we are often hiding our light sometimes. Sometimes because we're ashamed, we feel like we don't have any light, we feel like we don't have anything good to offer. I'm not really good at anything. I don't have. But listen, you have something incredible to offer because Christ is in you if you're a believer. That's amazing. So it says this, do not put it underneath a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all the house. Imagine you giving light to all of your school, to all of your neighborhood, to all of your co-workers. Give light to them. And then verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. And so let people notice your good works. Don't let your character, right? Don't let your character speak bad news in your mouth, speak good news, right? That's the problem. Be a light and shine goodness and have a good work ethic. And we talked about that. If you have a poor attitude or a poor work ethic, don't come and praise Jesus and sing Jesus all throughout the hallway, showing up late for work, or you got a bad attitude, right? I mean, that's just nonsense. Because you're speaking bad news with your actions, and then you're trying to you're preaching a false gospel, and so don't do that. And just be a light, right? You don't have to, again, just little statements like, hey, some people are like, I don't even know how to talk about this sort of stuff. I don't know how to talk about Christian things in my work. Look, just little statements like, hey, what did you do this weekend? Oh, man, I went to church, right? Me and my family, we did this. Hey, we served at this thing where we gave away clothes to people in our neighborhoods, garage sale giveaway. It was awesome. And I greet at my church. I was at Panera Bread. I was listening to me and Tony Pepe were there, and we're listening to this lady tell this other lady how much she loved being a greeter at her church. She was like, and when I'm not greeting, man, I just miss it because I love people coming in the door. I just love to hug them and shake them. She's like, I just love being a greeter. And I was like, she's pumped about that. But she would, like, that's just a small way to say, I love what I do. Like, again, just a little recognition here or there. And so be bright, but don't be blind. And share about a book you're reading. If you're reading a book and you think that might be helpful to your coworker, and for those of you who have different levels at your job and you're in charge of staff development or something like that, pick a John Maxwell book for your team to read or something like that. I mean, utilize those things. But be bright, but don't be blinding. So I brought here my flashlight that some people didn't think I owned, okay, because of my use with tools, right? But a light is good, man, because, you know, it helps us see things. If you walk in this room when it's dark out, you could get hurt. But if I take this light and just shine it up in your eyes, right, it's painful, right? So be bright, but not blinding, right? You don't have to go to work and be the morality police. Let me see who I'm going to get today. I'm going to point out all of their sins. Jimmy, you're not supposed to be on Facebook during company hours. Get off Facebook. Sally, no painting your nails at the desk. You know, like, you know, I mean, if you're the manager and you're supposed to do that, well, then do that. But you don't got to be the morality police, you know, of talking about everybody else. Hey, Bobby, don't you be cussing around me. All right, listen, the fact that you don't use that kind of language is enough light and conviction to let them know, because people notice that, right? If you've ever worked around folks that use language like that, and man, just the fact that you're doing it, they notice that already. And even, right, people are like, I know you don't cuss, but I just got to say this. And you don't have to jump down their throat about that. You don't have to be the morality police. Why? Because you're not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get into trying to be in the Holy Spirit. You're just called to be a light. And listen, your actions, look what it says in verse 16, right? When they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, that will be convicting enough. And so have good ethics and have a good attitude. And if you have had a poor attitude at work and terrible ethics, I'm challenging you to repent. As your pastor, I love you, but you need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for that. You can come during our prayer time at the end of the service. I need to repent for my poor attitude at school or at work. And man, change that. And then so be a blessing, be bright. And then thirdly, be ready. Be ready. Be ready to share the gospel. Be ready to share the gospel. Be ready. Like, if somebody at your job said, hey, I know you're a Christian, tell me how to get to heaven. Could you help them? Or would you be like, I got to call my pastor. Hold on. Right? But God has equipped you as a believer to be able to communicate the basics of the gospel. I'm not saying you got to be a Bible scholar. You memorize one verse. Memorize John 3:16. Memorize a simple way to share the gospel. And we've learned this as a church, right? And I look... 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, this is one of my favorite verses, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be what? Prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Notice the connection between this verse and the verse we read in Matthew earlier is that they're seeing your good works, and that's going to cause people to ask you, why do you do that? Why do you, like our sister Leah said, why do you not get an attitude when the boss gets an attitude with you, and you get to be able to say, here's why. Because, man, God loved me, and he's working on my attitude. I'm not perfect, but, man, I used to do that sort of stuff. Trust me, I used to do that. But God is making me a new woman. God is making me a new man. It says, always be prepared to give an answer. Everyone asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Are you prepared to do that? I'm going to ask our brother Stephen to come up at this time, because I'm going to have him share one of the ways he shares the gospel. And Stephen's pretty new around here, but he learned how to do this. There's a pamphlet called The Life Conversation Guide in your bulletin as well. And I'm going to ask you to pull that out. You can follow along with Stephen as we navigate that. Let's give a round of applause for my brother Stephen here to come up on stage. Now, just so you know, if you don't know who Stephen is, he's not a Bible scholar. He's a new to our church, new believer. He works with his hands. He's not a deacon, a community group leader, anything like that. He's a regular guy, but God has equipped him and called him to share the gospel. And so, brother, show us how you have been doing this, and what does that look like?
Well, good morning. My name is Stephen, as Pastor said, and I'm blessed to be the light at my job on a daily basis. And I'd just like to share with y'all this morning how a great tool that I've been shown to be able to share the gospel with others. So as Pastor Mackey said earlier, we live in a world that's full of brokenness. It's all around us. We see it on a daily basis, and we as individuals are also broken. So that is not God's original plan. God's original design was perfection. So he has a plan for us to be perfect, but we find our way into brokenness through something the Bible calls sin. Well, sin is anything that goes against God's plan. So God provides us a way out of our brokenness through his son, Jesus. Now, Jesus is God who came down from heaven, took our sins to the cross, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. Now, we try everything we can do to get out of brokenness. We try relationships, we try success, we try religion, we try drugs and alcohol, but all these are temporary and none of them work. They bring us right back into brokenness. So the only way out of brokenness is to turn away from our sin and believe that Jesus is the way out of brokenness. And once we do that, we can start to grow back into God's perfect design through Jesus. And once we start doing, once we've done that, then we're not to stay in God's perfect design, but we're to go, just like Jesus, back into brokenness and help others come out of brokenness. So there are two people in this world. There are people that are in God's perfect design, and there are people in brokenness. And I ask you this morning, where are you? Thank you very much.
Simple way to do that. You've got that pamphlet in your hand, and I'm not saying take that pamphlet and hand it to somebody. God works through people, and that's how you become a light. That's how you shine. And so we've got to be ready to share the gospel. And again, that's our brother Stephen there. That's the way he does it. It's a great tool. It's not the way you've got to do it, but you should be able to articulate the basics of the gospel, right? The basics. God didn't call you to be a just your shape is yours individually. The gospel stays the same, but all of us will communicate that. And so be ready. I'm going to move quickly here on these. Be bold. You caught that, Justin. Huh? Be bold. Listen, when you're ready, when you're a blessing, when you're bright, listen, you still got to take a step in faith to have that conversation with somebody, to step out in faith and say, hey, man, do you know, man, can I tell you about the greatest thing that's ever happened to me? Can I tell you about the day my life changed? Can I tell you about the brokenness that I was in and how I got out of brokenness? Let me tell you about my life. It was a hot mess. And you get to share that story about how Jesus saved you. And if you don't have that story, I mean, we'd love to help you get that connected there because it involves turning from your sins and trusting in Christ. But at some point, you've got to be bold and do that. I heard the story, if you know some of the Baldwin brothers, Stephen Baldwin, and he's an actor and that sort of stuff, but he came to Christ through his cleaning lady. It was his cleaning lady who realized she was on this mission. They said, man, you clean awesome, way better than the last lady we used to have. And she said, oh, you think I'm here to clean? And she was bold with it too. She was like, I'm here to represent Jesus and to let you know how much he loves you. And they were like, okay, all right, maybe. But she was clean and so good, man, they kept her. And then so she started talking with the wife. And then, man, the wife accepted Christ and came to know the Lord. And then the wife's life started changing. And that affected Stephen Baldwin. And then he started changing. Finally, he surrendered his life to Christ. It's a beautiful thing. The lead singer of Korn, a famous band, Brian Head Welch, he came to Christ and he was high as a kite on drugs, kid just running around. And he was just like, man, he knew his life was just a terrible wreck. And it was his real estate agent who said, Brian, man, I know you're looking at houses and others, but man, I can tell stuff is not right with you, man. Can we meet and talk? And he said, yeah. And he shared the gospel with him. And he said, man, come to church with me. He's like, man, you know, I mean, if you've ever seen Brian Head Welch and what he looks like, you know, he's afraid to walk into a church, like people might judge me. But I mean, he came to church, people just loved him. And man, he just got baptized and saved and just continues to walk with God. And he got clean. And listen, that's the story that every believer had. I heard about one lady, she was a personal assistant to this guy. And she kept inviting him to this Bible study called Alpha. And Alpha is a great Bible study that is out that helps people who are skeptical about Christianity, like answer questions and that sort of stuff. And it's real informal. It's called Alpha. And she said, come to Alpha with me. Come now. He said, no, no, no. And so finally, since she was the personal assistant in charge of his schedule, she just took a bold step and she scheduled it in for him. He had to show up there. And so, you know, but man, the guy got saved. He got baptized and just continues to go on there. And so take a bold step. And then finally is be encouraged, right? Be encouraged. Be encouraged that God is with you. And that is simply all you need. That is simply all you need. Be encouraged that the Holy Spirit resides in you. All the power, all the fullness of the power of God is inside of you as a believer. You realize what that means? And listen, I forget about it too. So don't look up here like I got it all perfect. I was in a conversation late Friday night to 1 a.m. thinking, Lord, how do I share the gospel with this? How do I help this person who is just broken? And I'm just like, oh, I'm trying to figure it out. Me and my wife just talking with somebody until the late night hours. And man, it was hard, you know. And so it's not always easy. But when I just gotta remind myself, man, the Holy Spirit is with me, and the Holy Spirit's working in their life. And I just get that connected and let God do His thing. But be encouraged. Acts 1:8 says this: But you will receive power. You will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not so that you can glorify yourself. Not so you could leap over tall buildings in a single bound. Not so you can stop a speeding train. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what? Because you will be my what? Witnesses. And again, that's not a lawyer. That's not the Holy Spirit. You're a witness just simply saying what God has done for you in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You have everything you need. Not man's power, not the pastor's power. You've got Holy Spirit power. And listen, no one is disqualified and no one is insignificant from this call. There are no insignificant Christians. God has called you to do this, and you are a Christian. You get to participate. You get to participate in the greatest news story ever told. There's so much bad news, right, in our world. Me and my brother Steve were just talking about that. So much bad news. And you get to be the one person that has, listen, I got good news today. Jesus is still on the throne. And he loves you. He's called you to be in this family. I know you're going through some hard times, but let me tell you the good news about who Jesus is. Amen? As we get ready to celebrate the Lord, someone asked the men to come make the Lord's table ready. And man, this is a great way to end our service and to respond to God, because here's why. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we're announcing something. We're communicating something. We're declaring something. Amen? And what we're doing is we're telling a story. We're communicating about the gospel, that he came to die the death that was really ours, that we deserved. And then he rose triumphantly from the grave to rescue us from sin. And so we're testifying to that. And if you're here today as a guest, you're welcome to partake as a guest, and you're a follower of Christ. You're from a different denomination, from a different church. That's okay. You're a follower of Christ. You're welcome to celebrate with us, because this meal, this celebration is for those who have trusted Christ. And listen, it's a symbolic reminder that, listen, we need to receive his grace, right? That's the reminder. I can't be empowered. I can't be alive. I can't shine bright if I don't have the grace of God that he so freely provided. And so it's about me just reconnecting with God. There's no magic in the bread and juice here. It's just that reminder, man, I am empowered. I have been empowered every single day. And this reminds me of that, that Jesus died so that I could be empowered. If you're here this morning, you're not a believer, well, then the Lord's Supper is not how you respond to God's grace. Repentance, like we saw on that board, is how we respond to God's grace. And so myself, Pastor Caleb, any member here of Plaza would love to talk to you about how you can have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We'd love to help you even after this, because this is simply symbolic. This is a reminder for those who have received. We want to give you something better, amen? We want to give you the real thing, the real empowerment. This is a reminder of the empowerment. Jesus and a relationship with him, and we'd love to help you get that connected. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll pass these. And as they come around, I'd ask that you'd take the bread and the juice and just hold them till everyone has received them, and then we'll all take them together. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your abundance of grace and goodness that we don't deserve. But God, you poured out your blood on us. You gave up your body for us so that we could be made whole, so that we could have a way out of brokenness, and that so we can go and have a mission, a purpose in the greatest rescue mission ever told. The greatest battle ever fought, the battle that will be talked about for ages and eternity, is the battle for human souls, and we get to participate in that. And everybody is invited to that table. That's a beautiful thing. So Jesus be glorified. In Christ's name we pray.